Good morning. Good morning. Let's stand this morning and tell the Lord why we've come here. It's because we've come to worship Him. Morning because we are hungry. We're hungry for God's words. We're hungry for His blessings. And we want every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that we are hungry. We are hungry for the knowledge of the Lord. We invite you now to either listen, close your eyes, let go of those worries, or follow along with words on the screen. Satisfied. I am empty.
to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Amen.
Good morning. And a happy Mother's Day to you on this glorious May spring morning. It's wonderful to have you here in worship. Let me share with you some announcements before we go a little bit further in the service today. When you came in, among other things, out in the lobby, you noticed that there is a table out there with some fair trade products brought to you by our Caring for Creation folks. If you want some coffees or teas or chocolates. A good day for chocolates. I have to tell you this little secret about our family. For Paula, for my wife, what do we do for Mother's Day? Because our mothers are 500, 600, 700 miles from here. So we celebrate Paula and now our daughter's Mother's Day. And so the rule of thumb is we have to go to the place that has the most chocolate. So every year we do a little survey of the most chocolate available in greater DuPage County. So welcome here. But there's all that out there. And by buying it, you also help some farmers around the world to get some fair prices for the products that they are growing and raising. So encourage you to do that. I'll let you know what's coming up in worship. Next week is Confirmation Sunday. We have 11 eighth graders that split between the two services will be coming to make their public profession of faith in the church. And we're excited about that. And then the following week, on September 24th, which is Memorial Day weekend, we go to summer hours, which means nothing changes about the first service, but you guys have to listen very carefully here. There'll be no Sunday school starting the 24th. And instead of meeting at 11:15, we'll meet a half hour earlier. It'll be 10:45, all the way through the summer, through Labor Day weekend in the fall. Speaking of summer, just to give you a little heads up about some other things to be preparing yourself for, you'll be learning more about this, but there's a big picnic slash corn boil games and stuff happening in the middle of July, and then all church camp towards the end of August, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. It's really designed for all ages, families. It happens at this beautiful site, Saugatuck, Michigan, Presbyterian Camps. We're trying to get a sort of early heads up about who would be coming. If you could give us a little notice of that on your bulletin tab as you hand that when the offering comes by. Or there's an actual form in your newsletter. And just to let you know that, there are newsletters available today. If you didn't get them coming in, when you go out, you have a mailbox out here by the north entrance, and your summer newsletter is in there with all kinds of stories about what else is going on this summer. Vacation Bible School, all of that stuff. Now, this Sunday also is kind of a bittersweet time for us, because though he's going to be with us next week leading worship and also teaching the last adult ed class, this is officially our student pastor Jeff Lynn's last Sunday with us. That's Jeff up there. Jeff, why don't you come up here? You can tell from the photo up there that Jeff didn't make any friends during Logostown. Yeah, those were part of his contingent of buddies there. And you couldn't see this because it was like devastated after the first service, but we had a cake for Jeff, and here's what it actually said. Jeff, may God's blessing be with your ministry as you go on from this place. There may still be some slices of cake out there for you to eat. We also want to give you this book again in this service, just as... this gift, excuse me, as we gave it to you in the last service. You're learning all these things about ministry, you know. So it has been a joy to have you with us. We hopefully you've learned some few things here. You've certainly brought a wonderful spirit to us, a graciousness, a love for God that the children have seen, but also that we have seen as colleagues and as also members of this church. And we are thankful for you being with us this year and wish you the very best as God is helping you to discern where you're headed in the future. Godspeed. You bet. Okay. Now we're going to make him stand up again. Children of the congregation, it's time for your lesson with Jeff.
Come forward. Come forward.
Hey.
Good morning. How are you? Doing okay? Well, as Pastor Mike said, this is the last time that I have the chance to learn with you and lead this children's moment. It sure has been a good year for me, so thank you very much. But I guess I want to leave you with the scripture lesson this morning, which is from the Gospel of John. It's kind of about a garden, actually. So I thought we could maybe find a place where we have some plants in the sanctuary. Do you see any around here? The table? Yeah. Anywhere else? Yeah. Over there. You know what? Let's go over there so we can see a little better. Yeah, so these are plants. Do you happen to know what this part of a plant is called, or this part of a plant? Yeah. Yes. That's the branch? Yeah. Yeah, there are other names for it too, like the stem if it's a smaller plant, or what about a big tree? What would you call it? Trunk, that's right. You know, you see a big oak tree, something like a big willow tree, just a huge trunk, several feet in circumference. But there are also these things on top, aren't there? What are these called? Yeah. Leaves or branches or twigs. That's right. And there's kind of a connection between these and these, aren't there? Like the trunk of a tree and the leaves on the top of the tree, right? What happens if we rip off the twig, or if we rip off the leaf? What happens to the leaf or the twig? They come off? Yeah. Do they continue to live? Oh, it dies. Yeah, it does. It does. Well, that's kind of what our scripture lesson is about.
A flower plant.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's neat. It's from Sunday school. That's very, very cool. Yeah, I mean, we can all plant things ourselves. Maybe our homes have little places to plant flowers or tomatoes, yeah, anything. Well, our scripture this morning is about a garden, kind of. It's about God being the trunk of the tree, God being the big part on the bottom that gives us life and that gives us hope. And we are like these little branches up here, or the leaves or the twigs, and we have to stay connected with God because God is our life, or else we fall from the tree. and we died. That's right. That's right. So God is our life. That's what I wanted to leave with you this morning. So would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for each of these children. Please be with them. Remind them that you are their life. Keep them connected to you. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Today's scripture from the Gospel of John is one of the great I am sayings of Jesus. It says several in John's Gospel. I am the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. Last week, the youth shared with us in their service, Jesus' great I am the great shepherd. This week, we hear him say, I am the true vine. Let's pray together. Lord, as we read your word, you who speak to us down through the centuries, and yet also in the immediacy of this moment, as your Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts, as you whisper into our conscience, help us to listen. Let us hear with our ears, as if your word was directed to our very selves and no one else. Send your Holy Spirit. Enliven our conscience to receive and then to bear fruit. Amen. Jesus tells his disciples in the 15th chapter of John, you can follow along on page 109 there in your New Testament in your Bibles, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus says it is all about being connected and staying connected. When a child, a human child, is conceived, she is totally dependent, though, right, on the nourishment of her mother's womb for that 9 months or so that she's there. And even for some time after, she may depend on her mother's milk, but eventually children get weaned. They get independent. They learn to drive. They go to the mall, right? Their ability to flourish and grow doesn't depend on mother any longer, and no longer on that umbilical cord that once represented the very source of their life. But it's not, Jesus says, that way with branches. Branches are different. A branch along a vine stem will be as completely dependent on the nutrients that, you know, come up that stem through the vine when the branch is, you know, a day old, or when it's like 58 years old as me, like 110. Like our good buddy, my bass player over here. No. No! At every moment of the branch's life, there is no seconds away. You never get weaned from being a branch in the vine. The stem is the only part that has its roots down there where nutrients can come up to the rest of the plant. Jesus is the vine, he says. We are the branches. And so he says, it pays to stay really tight with your main vine stem. Jesus says the same thing goes for your relationship with me. We're like a vine and its branches. You need to stay connected to me. Otherwise, you're not going to make any difference in the kingdom. And you can really do nothing on your own. It's all about staying connected. Now, we sort of know that on a secular level, don't we? That being connected is how things get done. In the political world, if you want to get something done in Congress, you got to somehow get your name to a congressman. You got to get to a senator. You've got to get your project, your idea, whatever, before them. We are so sure of that last year in 2008, even though there was a recession happening, $3.3 billion was spent through 15,276 lobbyists to get people's agenda before various members of Congress. You got to have connections, right? At least that's how it works in our world. I mean, there are other options, right? How else are you going to do it? You guys remember the, any of you know the name Percy Bysshe Shelley? All right. Percy Bysshe was an Englishman from about the 18th century. He was one of, early on, he was into social change. But his idea was, oh, by the way, Percy Bysshe Shelley was married to Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein. Now, I'm just thinking, and this is a side, but imagine that your mom had written Frankenstein. What would you get her for Mother's Day? Chocolate. There you go. I digress. But Percy Bysshe, earlier in his life, this is how he tried to affect change. So he would like have this great idea, and he would write it down, and then he'd fold it up into a nice little paper airplane. And then from his upstairs window, he'd heave that out there, going by the assumption that somebody would pick it up out of the gutter, read his wonderful statement about changing the world, and they'd act on it right then. That's why he's known as one of the great romantic poets. Jesus, however, not a romantic. He says, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Boy, that sounds hard, doesn't it? I don't want it to... It comes off as if it's very judgmental on Jesus' part, but I think what he's just actually doing is being descriptive. He's saying, this is what happens if you become disconnected from me. It's not a judgment that I'm going to bring upon you. You're going to do this to yourself. We have parallels of this in you know, outside of the church as well. I was, you know, about a year or so ago, you guys remember former Attorney General, Governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer? A lot of people are beginning to talk about Eliot as being a future candidate for president of the United States. You know, he'd done a lot of stuff. But, you know, about a year ago it came out that he was, you know, spending thousands of dollars for expensive call girls. And he had to resign the governorship, all of that. His life was ruined. Or he ruined his life. Now, Newsweek came out with an article about 3 weeks ago, exclusive interview with Eliot Spitzer. You know, where is he now? How did this happen? And I'm going like, I want to know. What made Eliot do that? And I thought, you know, and it was great because the reporter for Newsweek just asked him that point blank, you know, what were you thinking? Why did you do this? And his response was so revealing. For what it didn't reveal, he said, I don't know. He said, I really had no idea. And even in the interview, he had no idea. Even a year later, he was so out of touch with who he was as a human being, let alone governor of the state, that he had no idea what had transpired inside of him, what was going on inside of him emotionally, or what was not going on, that made him make such an incredibly poor choice to ruin his career, you know, a great affront to his wife, his friends, all of those who trusted in him. Totally disconnected from himself. But we might also say disconnected from anybody around him who could have said to him at some point along the way, some trusted friend or advisor, whatever, Elliot, are you nuts? You need to get some help. When I see folks in the church get into trouble, when I see other pastors get into trouble, it's always the same kind of thing that happens. They, first of all, disconnect from their colleagues in ministry. They disconnect from the community of Christ. They don't share with anybody what's going on inside them. And things happen. And a disaster ensues. All because they're disconnected. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. You've got to stay connected. Stuff that you have no idea that's going on deep inside of you. Other things, if you're not connected, are going to take over and ruin your life. And you'll be good for nothing. You'll ruin the life that you've been given. We need to remember that. See, for Jesus, not only is it, you know, is it painful for a branch maybe to be separated or to separate itself, imagine what that's like for Jesus. You know, we are the branches of his vine. When we separate ourselves from him, it hurts him. It creates a wound. It scars him. That intimate relationship. It's not like there were ever branches that are not connected. You know, every branch is connected equally. It's not like some are like, floating around up here. I don't really need the vine. Or there's just some that are like, I'm just sort of connected. They're all branches. A branch is a branch. They're all connected intimately into the vine. Even the ones that pull away at some point were deeply, intimately involved in the vine. I was reading a former pastor, a guy who's a professor now at Calvin, Scott Hosey. He says when he was a pastor, one of the things that used to hurt him the most was that people would leave the church and they wouldn't like, he said, it wasn't just that they would, the ones that, you know, wouldn't join another church or whatever, but would just disappear. And he said the most painful thing was that often they just would disappear. They wouldn't say goodbye. They wouldn't send a note. There wouldn't be anything. He said, you know, I baptized their children. Maybe I married them. Maybe I performed a funeral for a loved one in their family. And they just disappeared. And he was like, it was painful, this disconnection. But then Hosey says, but that's nothing compared to how that must hurt Christ, to pull away from him, from the vine, the true vine. Dale Bruner says that, you know, Eugene Peterson says that we have a really hard time wrapping our minds around this idea of how intimate the connection really is that we have with Christ. When we say something like, I'm a member of Yorkfield, or I'm a member of whatever church, biblically speaking, it's like referring to your own hand as a member of your body. You know, it's that intimate of a relationship, and for a hand to detach itself from the body is a big deal. It's a painful deal. It's a traumatic thing. There's no way that a branch leaves the body, a hand leaves the body, that some trauma is not involved. Jesus says, make no mistake, though you may take your relationship with the church casually in this voluntaristic societies that we live in, there is nothing casual about your relationship with me. That's why it's so important for us to be working on this personal relationship that we have with Christ. Why it's through prayer, through regular times of devotion, that we branches are sustained by the Holy Spirit of the vine, that life-giving Holy Spirit. Our lives are sustained by a relationship to our Lord, and without that connection, you notice Jesus says we are unable to bear fruit. In fact, he says it even a little bit more pointedly. He says, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. He doesn't say, oh, you'll just bear little bits of fruit or kind of stunted little fruit. He says nothing. For a long time, I didn't really get that. I didn't really understand what he was talking about there. I mean, I was raised by my parents to be a very independent American. You know, I like to think that what I accomplished was by my will, by my hard work, by my intelligence, by my perseverance, my, all of that. Never dawned on me that my very ability to work, my perseverance might be gifts of God to begin with. I also didn't realize that apart from the vine, Jesus says, even the good works that I seem to accomplish would amount to nothing without the grace of God working in them and through them. So today, I find myself constantly asking, is God in this particular endeavor that I'm involved in? Or is this just what I want? Even then, while we're trying to stay connected, God the farmer is likely to prune us, to cut us away, cut away from us all that stuff that keeps us from being fruitful. Did you hear that in there as well? At first, pruning sounds kind of counter to staying connected, doesn't it? You wouldn't want to cut anything off that should be connected, but Jesus' audience is very familiar with this image, a little probably more than we are, unless, how many of you grow grapes at your house? Huh? Good man. All right, I'll be over. They knew that when you cultivate grapes in the wintertime, you cut them way back, just almost all the way back to the original vine, the original stem. And that's necessary for when spring comes, for them to really grow out and bear fruit, bear lots of grapes. No matter how many years you've had them, old growth vines, decades, it's still important. That has to happen every year. If you just let those tendrils stay out there, they're going to produce a bunch of leaves when spring comes, but not much fruit. So they understood that. If you want to have a good grape harvest in the coming year, you've got to get pruned back. And the same thing with us, Jesus says. Go back to that image of babies being born again. We'll kind of flip that around a little bit. When our daughter was born, I'm sure I told you some of you this before, when our daughter was going to be born, I had this wonderful symbolic idea, and I told the obstetricians, I said, can I cut the cord of our daughter when she's born? They kind of looked at me, this is like 25 years ago, they kind of looked at me like, are you nuts? What's the matter with this guy? I said, well, it'd be kind of a symbolic thing. So they got like, we're really skeptical about that. Antiseptic barrier, you know, we don't want you involved in that. So I go, okay. So I'm sitting there. My wife says, not paying any attention to her, but just watching this baby be born. And it's a C-section. And then at the last moment, they take this baby and they bring her over to my side of the sterile curtain. And they hand me this little scissors and they say, cut right here. And I cut. Made that symbolic cut. And I think it's safe to say our daughter has never actually forgiven me for that. But the fact is, as human beings, we know also that it was not going to be good for her to stay connected by that umbilical cord for her mom for much longer, right? She wasn't going to do a lot of maturing. She's become a wonderful young woman and a mother herself. But you know, sometimes, even though we physically cut the cord, sometimes we don't emotionally cut the cord, do we? There are parents out there, you know, so there's a little topic out there right now, little helicopter parents that hover over their kids, hover. And to the point that you hear stories of parents going with their post-college graduate children into interviews for jobs. Mom, Dad, please. Helicopter parents. we're in a recession right now, and if there's not a lot of good about that recession. We have folks in our congregation, as folks everywhere, losing their jobs and searching, and it's tough. But if the recession can do anything, maybe it can help prune us a little bit. I came across a story. I was listening to This American Life on NPR, on a podcast, and this is from several weeks back, and they were interviewing this woman, and she and her husband had lived in the Florida Keys, and they were flipping houses, and they were making a lot of money, and they flipped some more houses, and then they eventually sold the house they were in for a lot of money, and they were making so much money, they took all of that money, including the money they had made from their house, and they pumped it into some more houses. And right then, the bubble burst. And they lost it all. They couldn't sell those houses. They were selling below what they put into them. They had nothing. And she could have been, and obviously was, devastated by that. And she could have been really angry and or whatever, but I just thought I would share what she actually said on NPR. She said, "All that stuff that I thought was so important, making gobs of money, granite top kitchen counters and so forth, I'm so ashamed. I'm just so ashamed I bought into all of that." That was her response. What a wonderful, though painful, spiritual awakening for her as she's having her life pruned here. Having pruned her heart is now growing in ways that it hadn't for years, or it had been stunted, or it was bearing no fruit. But why do we need a recession? Why wait for that in our lives? Jesus says, "Heed my urging now. Abide in me as I abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Stay connected. Bear fruit." Amen.
Lost without you.
lost without you. I'm lost without you.
It's my privilege to share with you some joys and concerns of our faith community. This morning at the 9 o'clock hour of worship, we welcomed into our church family Joshua Thomas Reddick. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and we rejoice with Joshua and with his family. We have great news from Matt Resch, who had surgery on his leg last week to remove a rod that had been part of his bone for a number of years. The surgery went very well, and he went home from the hospital on Friday, and he'll be recovering with crutches and therapy throughout the summer months. Please continue to hold Matt and his wife Jennifer and their daughter in your prayers. Lynn Borland reports that her uncle Vern has finally out of the hospital where he had been recovering from a house explosion, and that he will be returning to a newly rebuilt home over the next couple of months. The flowers that are on our communion table this morning are in celebration of the 40th birthday of Gordon Snyder. They are given by his sons, Hayden and Everett. And we celebrated with Gordon this morning in worship, and I know you'll want to wish him happy birthday when you see him later this week sometime. Some prayer concerns. Dylan, our choir director, asked prayers for his girlfriend, Kim, who is embarking on a very important job interview on Tuesday. Bailey Dole has sent word that her sister Courtney is safe, but the wildfires in Santa Barbara have most likely burned the home in which she was living. So we pray for Courtney. And Wendy Bork asked for prayers for her cousin Pat, who has been receiving cancer treatments. She had two special procedures on her liver and since then has been in a great deal of pain, nausea, and severe bone aches. So we remember Wendy's cousin Pat in our prayers. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we thank you for so many things this morning. For the rising of the morning sun, the love of family and friends, for the sheer beauty of this earth you have created and continue to create. Our home, we thank you. Awaken us to notice the little things in this life, the simple joys that surround us, and fill us with your hope and the confidence of the faithful people so we might more fully live into becoming sisters and brothers in Christ. We pray with deep gratitude for the love of Jesus Christ so clearly evident in the lives of our youth. We thank you for their witness to us in the worship they created and led last week. We also pray for the confirmands in this, their final week of study, and ask for your Spirit to be fully present in their active decision to join your church. Jesus, we know that you alone are the vine, and how we long to be your branches. Come now, Lord Jesus, come and graft us and live fully in us. Strengthen us as we grow and stretch to be the disciples, pointing the way to your grace. God, we know that you are a God that weeps when we weep. Hear our prayer for those in need of your compassion and our companionship. We pray for those suffering the loss from wildfires, for families mourning the loss of children in earthquakes, for hungry bellies moaning for nourishment, for Samuel's village thirsty for clean, safe water, for teenagers recklessly shot to death, for those trapped in a cycle of addiction, for those tormented by domestic violence. God, we ask for your wholeness to be present. We fervently pray for your guidance to know how we might make a difference in bringing your kingdom to come on this earth. God, who is birth mother to us all, hear our prayers for our families. We pray for families who live in anguish while seeking a next step and ask for your leading hand. For families burdened with schedules too full to even share a meal together. For families working to open lines of communication, we pray your ever-present calm. And Creator God, we pray for those longing to be blessed with children and ask for your grace. Holy Spirit God, we ask for your presence and guidance in the life of Joshua Thomas Reddick. How fortunate we are to welcome him into the one body of Jesus Christ. Compassionate God, we thank you for Matt's successful surgery and pray for his healing. We thank you for Uncle Vern's healing and all of those who are recovering and in rehab. Hear now our silent prayers as we pray for all of those in need of your healing mercies. For Gordon and Barbara, for Anita and Jean, for Pat, for George and Ted, hear our prayers for ourselves. Hear our prayers for your peace to envelop those searching for the next job, for the next career. May this pause along the way be a time of growth, a time for searching and finding the real priorities of life. Mighty God, open doors of opportunity and make the connections needed for the next livelihood to unfold. And now let us pray together that prayer that Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen.
Thank you.
Does tell us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So we are convinced, we know for certain that he is here with us and among us. So let's stand and tell him how much we love him and that we want to see his name lifted high.
Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land. So all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land. So all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see Jesus lifted high.
Here we go again.
We wanna see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies I might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land. So all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward, little by little we're taking ground. Every prayer a powerful weapon, strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down.
Stay connected, bear fruit. The love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you now and always. Amen.